Welcome, Rebecca Johnson, to the Crittenden Press Women's History Month podcast. It's brought to you by the Pennyrow Health District and its diabetes education program. If you are a lifelong diabetic or recently diagnosed, you can benefit from educational opportunities available from your local health department. So contact the Pennyrow District Health Department about the Diabetes Education Program. Rebecca Johnson, we were talking before we came on the air how important these health departments are right now. What do you think when we finally come out of this pandemic, people are going to have a greater awareness of how important public health is, aren't they?
Exactly. I think there's a lot of people that never had the opportunity to use the health department. And now with the health departments giving the COVID vaccinations, I think people realize how important they are. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to have one in each county. And hopefully people will realize that going mm-hmm. forward.
Well, speaking of one in each county, each county has a county attorney who prosecutes cases in district court. Those are misdemeanors and down. And you are the county attorney in Crittenden County, the first female county attorney, and you're in your fourth term. You're in your fourth term now. And one of very few women county attorneys across West Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Why have you been able to keep this job so long in Crittenden County? Doing a great job, right?
Well, when I started out, and I ran in 2006, I believe there were only two women county attorneys in Western Kentucky, Brucey Moore in Union County and Amy Milliken, who is in Warren County. And the year that I ran, there were several women that ran and several in Western Kentucky that were successful. I know the first time that I ran, I was very concerned that a lot of voters out there thought it was a job that a woman couldn't do because it had traditionally been a job that was done by a man. And when I was going around the county campaigning, I realized that really wasn't the case. You know, people wanted to know about me, they wanted to know about my experience and what I plan to do with the job. And then every subsequent time that I've run, it really has not appeared to be an issue.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been trying to brainstorm here during Women's History Month of women who've had an impact on our community. And, you know, we probably are a little more isolated from areas, more urban areas, that maybe have a few more women, you know, that you could choose mm-hmm. from. And here, we do have women who've had an impact, don't get me wrong, but it's difficult to find, you know, particularly one who's alive now. And I know your mother, who you recently lost, and I know this is very emotional, and we're so sorry for your loss, but I'd like to talk about your mother and her impact. She was a businesswoman, mm-hmm. civic leader in the community for many years and lived a long, long life. And you... just talk about your mom and her influence on you. And I know if you have trouble getting through this, we can go slow. And I know mm-hmm. it's just been a few weeks since you lost her.
Thanks for asking, because obviously she did have a tremendous impact on my life. And I know my brother Jim's life as well. But my mom, of course, she lived to be 96 years old, and she had a long life. But she was raised during the Depression. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what she learned during that time carried over throughout her life. And she passed some of that on to her kids, too. She, when she graduated high school in 1942, both of her brothers had gone off to fight in World War II. And she had to stay at home and she had to work. She actually worked for the telephone company in Princeton. And she didn't have the opportunity to go to college, is the point. And growing up, she always said that was her big regret, that she didn't have an opportunity to go on to college. So when my brother and I When she was raising us, it was just always understood that the two of us would go to college. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, during the 70s, when we both graduated, a lot of kids weren't going on. You know, they might have raised their families, and then after they raised their families, gone to school. Mm-hmm. But that was a way that she inspired us. Mm-hmm. She was in business. Instead of being able to go to college, she probably worked every day of her life after she graduated from high school. And she and my dad started Johnson Electric in 1950. They moved to Marion from Princeton. And they essentially built that business from scratch. They had several different locations. At one time, they had a store in Princeton. They had one in Murray as well. And it was unusual for a woman in the 50s and 60s to have a full-time job, the responsibility of managing or helping to manage a business, and then raising children. And we had supper on the table, you know, every night. Mom would come home and we'd have supper. There were no microwaves or fast food restaurants then. never missed a single opportunity to act as a room mother for my brother Jim or I in school, president of the band Boosters. She and my dad said they always served so many hot dogs that she couldn't eat any any after that. But you know, when you get married and you have children of your own, you realize how hard that was. Mm-hmm. To not only have a business, all of the stress that goes with that business, and then to have children and raise those children and raise them up in the church, mm-hmm. raise them up being active in, you know, sports and other activities in school. It's just very difficult. And you look back on it and you question, you know, how in the world was she able to do that? And
your mother was a very integral part of mm-hmm. the Marion United Methodist mm-hmm. Church. And how important was her faith?
Very important to her. We were at church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. We never missed Sunday school. And she was a Sunday school teacher for a while. You know, she was active in circles. No telling how many potlucks she baked pies and casseroles for. But that was very important to her.
You know, probably not many people know this, and I know when she was alive she didn't want anybody particularly to know about it, but I think now I can even say, and I'm privileged to know this because I serve on the committee at the church to mm-hmm. help put in the new sound system there. Mm-hmm. And she is she was the benefactor of that sound system, and it was a lot of it. She said, "I just can't hear the sermon, and if I can't hear it, I know there are others who mm-hmm. can't too." So she really was an important part, I know, of that church, right. and in the community, and built a business that has not only survived, an independent business surviving in a small town is difficult enough, but has actually thrived in this community. Mm-hmm. And now your niece, Patty Johnson mm-hmm. Merrill, is kind of mm-hmm. continuing that legacy of the female being there in the business. So I know you're proud of that too.
That's exactly right. Mom, you know, talking about her getting the sound system mm-hmm. into the church, if she saw something that needed to be done or that she thought needed to be changed, she was not one to complain about it. She would figure out how to do that or how to find the person who could. And
so is that where you get your ability to be assertive in a difficult profession,
right,
where you're prosecuting people, putting them in jail a good number of times?
Well, I think my mother may have gone about it a little more tactfully and a little more southern and subtle in the way she did it. I think it goes back to, you know, she raised both my brother and I, that there were no limits to what we could do. And I can't remember anything that I ever told her I was going to do that she said, you know, you can't do that or that's not possible. She was always very encouraging with that. And even when I ran for county attorney the first time, Even though she would have been about 80 years old, she rode around the county with me. And we had my son, who was then three. He's now a senior in high school. We had him in his booster seat in the back of the car, and we rode around, and she helped me campaign. And she loved it. Yeah. She loved getting out and talking to people and meeting people.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about your education, mm-hmm. and you got your undergraduate at Western Kentucky mm-hmm. University, and then went on to receive your law degree from Vanderbilt mm-hmm. University, a very prestigious school. In the South and all across the country, for that matter, how tough is it to get out of law school at Vandy?
Well, it was pretty tough to get in. Yes, incredibly enough, when I was in high school, I would not have called myself a very competitive student. All right. But I think it kind of clicked when I got into college. And I remember I had an advisor. My actual advisor told me, he said, well, you can't get into Vanderbilt from Western. We never have students that get into Vanderbilt. Well, of course, that's all it took. And fortunately, by luck or whatever, I got in and survived 3 years of it, mm-hmm. and had a really good time. Had a real good time, learned a lot. It was a good experience.
Back to your practice here in the community as a prosecutor, and you have a mm-hmm. private legal practice as well. But I know one thing you're mighty proud of is your child services and, mm-hmm. and the things that you've been able to do. You've put a lot of emphasis on that and have been rewarded by the state, mm-hmm. recognized many times over for the work there. Talk a little bit about that mm-hmm. and why it's so meaningful to you.
Well, it's one area that you're able to see a positive impact when you work hard, because what you're doing is you're working to help children and families to get the funds that they need to support themselves. In a small community, oftentimes I know these children, and I see firsthand how they're struggling and how valuable that support is. So whether it's the father that owes a support or the mother, it's very important that they meet their obligations. And fortunately, I've had wonderful staff, and that's helped us, you know, hopefully help some families along the way.
Do you think that being a female's perspective on this particular facet of being the county attorney has driven you maybe more so than a male might in that field?
Oh, in that area?
Yeah, in that area. Being a mother, being a female, and understanding the plight of many young mothers, or just not necessarily.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, I know that there's a lot of attorneys right out of law school that primarily what they do is family law, which... you know, it's still somewhat the case. Mm-hmm. But as far as my focus as county attorney, I enjoy just as much advising the fiscal court mm-hmm. With matters involving the county, decisions involving the county, as I do in my role enforcing child support obligations.
There are just a number of hats that mm-hmm. a county attorney wears, and I think the average Crittenden County and probably does not understand all the different things that you do. You mentioned being the legal counsel for the county mm-hmm. government. You're also the prosecutor in cases, misdemeanors, traffic, and then the child services, making sure child support is paid. What other, are there other parts of that job that we don't think of every day?
There's also a very important part, which is being sure that children are safe in the home environment that they are in. Uh-huh. And of course, that's something that people don't see. Because
now, does that come from the school? Do you get...
No, those referrals typically come through the cabinet.
Okay.
Oftentimes there may be someone who makes a report, whether it's a concerned neighbor or mm-hmm. a concerned family member, or a lot of times it may come from the school. Of course, all of that's confidential, mm-hmm. but it shines a light on an environment that a child may be in that is harmful for that child. And these types of cases are confidential, mm-hmm. so we don't know about them.
Sure.
I feel like, especially recently when we've got a lot of kids out of school, a lot of kids moving around, I'm quite concerned that there may be, you know, some situations that aren't coming to light, and there are children that that may be neglected or harmed during this period of time.
Another part of your job is making sure taxes are paid. So when individuals or businesses are delinquent, that falls on you too, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. That's true. Fortunately, the people in the county do pretty well, uh-huh. you know, paying their taxes. I think a very small percentage, and so that's good.
Get to that delinquency point,
right?
Now let's kind of change gears here and go back to the Women's History Month and talk a little bit about some of the women in your life, other than your mother, we mentioned her, and these can be people who are that you knew about, have read about in our community, and or that you actually knew firsthand, or some who are involved today.
Well,
who comes to mind first?
Yeah. She comes to mind for several reasons. One of which is that she recently passed away, I believe late last fall, but it's Linda Foster, when I knew her, Linda Foster McDowell. And she was an English teacher when I was in junior high. And she was fairly new. She graduated college not too long before she started teaching. And this is in the 70s, and she was so hip. she was funny, and she was a very good teacher, but she inspired in me my initial love for English. And I actually had the opportunity about 3 years ago. We were at a band competition. I was there with my son, and she was there with her grandchildren. And I had the opportunity to tell her that she was my favorite teacher, and that she inspired me to ultimately major in English at Western. So she is certainly high on my list. Another, which has probably inspired many people, of course, would be Ethel Tucker. Mm-hmm. And Ethel Tucker went to church with me as well. So our paths crossed in a lot of different ways. But the one way that I recall where she inspired me the most was she was the director of the Arts Foundation for several years. Mm-hmm. And there was 2 years that I was president of the Arts Foundation. And we had an opportunity to travel to Frankfurt. I think we were going there probably to beg for money, you know, from the state for the arts program. So we had a rather lengthy car ride up and back, just the two of us to Frankfurt. And I realized that in addition to being a very intelligent, hardworking, well-rounded individual, she was very funny. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time just thinking, what an inspiration, you know, she is with everything she's done for this county, and how wonderful it would be if more people got to know her. And I think they did after that, mm-hmm. through her cookbooks. And I think she's probably been interviewed a few times for the paper. So.
Yes, certainly she was a contemporary of your mother's.
Yes.
And was on up in years when she really, I guess we can say, became famous, certainly mm-hmm. in Crittenden County in West Kentucky, with writing books about her life mm-hmm. and memories. And to some degree, I felt like she was the matriarch mm-hmm. of Crittenden County, mm-hmm. and just a jewel while we had her, and nice to remember her. Are there others?
Well, in the same vein, Judy Wynn,
sure,
of course, who was also, she was very active in a lot of the organizations that my mom was in. And I think as I matured, she wasn't just my mother's friend, she was also my friend as well. Mm-hmm. And she's certainly on that list.
And you know, right now, if you look around the community, I know one of the individuals that I see that's really an up-and-coming, dynamic female in the community is Brandi Rogers, the family court judge. And you have a
Absolutely.
Lot of dealings with her. And she's been very instrumental in getting this new court, justice center, mm-hmm. I should say. You know, she's ramrodded that.
Absolutely.
Been a personal
mission for her.
Yeah,
that's
mission,
true. Yeah. That's true. Right. And it's been a joy having her on the bench as a family court judge. She takes the job very seriously. Again, dealing with a lot of the issues that are on my plate, which is the child support and, you know, making homes that are safe for these children. Uh-huh. But no, she's a very big asset to this county. Mm-hmm.
Well, Rebecca Johnson, County Attorney in Crittenden County, we appreciate your time and visiting with us here on our weekly podcast during Women's History Month. I'll remind our listeners that our podcast is brought to you by the Pennyrowell District Health Department and its Diabetes Education Program. Rebecca, anything else that really you feel is on your heart or in your mind? This is a great opportunity to say just about anything to the community.
Well, goodness, thank you. Well, I think that, you know, of course, my son is a senior, uh-huh. so I know quite a few of the students out at the high school, and I guess the message would be to every student out there, there is not a thing that you cannot do if you put your mind to it. Whether it's a career, raising a family, and the opportunities are there. You just have to look for them and focus on them.
Uh-huh. You know, we have a program, I happen to serve on the board, or have, I'm not sure if I'm still on it, but I make the introductions during their annual award ceremony or presentation ceremony. It's the Distinguished Alumni Program out at the school district. And it's unbelievable how many outstanding people from this community who have gone on and really, really made a name for themselves and going way back into the, you know, 40s and 50s. And it's really interesting to see them.
That's true. And, of course, they were from here. This is, I guess, where their ideas started.
Sure.
And then most of them left this area, and then, you know, we weren't able to keep up with them and their accomplishments. And so that's a wonderful part of this program,
yeah.
is there's a lot of the people who have been inducted that otherwise we would never know that this person from Crittenden County had contributed so much in their area.
One of my favorite people that have been recognized, mm-hmm. I think he recently passed away, and I can't really think of his name, but he was the John Deere tractor guy. He helped develop some of these John Deere tractors, and you know, people around Crittenden County love John Deere green, and a lot of them drive those tractors. I had so many people say something about that because it kind of touched, you know, it touched them in a way because they use these tractors all the time. But so many interesting people in that program. So, as you say, you can do anything from anywhere if you set your mind to it. And we appreciate, again, you sitting down and visiting with us today. Rebecca Johnson, the county attorney, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
We hope you enjoy this podcast, one of several things the Crittenden Press is presenting to recognize Women's History Month. This podcast is brought to you by the Pennyrowell District Health Department's Diabetes Education Program. If you are diabetic or were recently diagnosed, you can benefit from the educational opportunities available from your local health department. Give them a call today to learn more.